Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, September 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande, and here are our top stories this evening. MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai calls for mass action as Zimbabwe's economic crisis continues to deepen.
Vanhu vemuno muZimbabwe taane chirwere chokuuya pamiting. MDC iri kuitei? MDC iri kuitira chii? Koimi muri kuita chii?
Zimbabweans now have a problem of asking what the MDC is doing to end the crisis in the country. You are the ones who are suffering, so what are you doing about it?
ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa says ZANU-PF should swallow its pride and admit that it has failed to deliver the country from its current economic crisis.
Come to the table, as Smith did, and let us build the country together, just as we defeated oppression together, side by side.
And with no end in sight to Zimbabwe's economic decline, Zimbabwean workers feel their plight is getting worse.
I continue to go to work because as an educated person, at least I felt comforted that at least I have something to do, because staying at home can be very stressful.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai today rallied his supporters to take to the streets in protest of what he said was the worsening economic situation in the country and to force the government to implement key democratic reforms ahead of the next elections. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Chitungwiza.
Addressing his followers at the Unity L Community Hall in Harare satellite town of Chitungwiza, former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai urged his supporters to confront President Robert Mugabe's government over the deepening economic and political crisis in the country. Mr. Tsvangirai said Zimbabweans should, quote, now take the bull by its horns as the economic crisis shows no signs of abating.
Vanhu vemuno muZimbabwe taane chirwere chokuuya pamiting. MDC iri kuitei? MDC iri kuitira chii? Koimi muri kuita chii?
Zimbabweans now have a problem of asking what the MDC is doing to end the crisis in the country. You are the ones who are suffering, so what are you doing about it?
Chitungwiza resident Albert Murawa supported Mr. Tsvangirai, adding that it was now time for Zimbabweans to speak with one voice.
I think the call by the former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai is noble. It only needs people who are brave, but the issue is that in any country you find that no country will ever become independent without people buying in the ideas of whatever other political parties will be selling. So Zimbabweans should actually unite.
The opposition leader said pensioners are suffering the most due to the current economic meltdown. He urged those who have not been paid by the National Social Security Authority to confront the authorities.
Munhu wese mushandi wese munyika muno anga ari pa NASA. NASA, which is a pension arrangement. Munhu wese for the last 30 or so years, for the last 20 years, as far as I can see.
You should also go and confront NASA over the non-payment of your pensions. This is unacceptable.
The former Prime Minister is on a national tour consulting his supporters under a program that the MDCT has dubbed the Policy Dialogue Forum. He was accompanied by the Party Secretary General Douglas Monzora, Deputy National Chairperson Morgan Komichi, and National Executive Members of his party, Eddie Cross and Nelson Chamisa. Reporting for Studio 7 from Chitungwiza, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. ZANU-PF Politburo member Paul Munyaradze Mangwana dismissed Tsvangirai's call, saying Zimbabweans won't heed his call.
Mr. Tsvangirai knows very well that Zimbabwe's problems are as a result of sanctions which he called for. He's the one who invited the Western countries to impose sanctions on Zimbabwe. In order for him to assist in the turnaround of the economy of this country, he should go back to those countries and ask them to lift sanctions. The reasons why Zimbabwe's economy is not performing is because there are no lines of credit. There are no financial institutions which are putting money for investment in Zimbabwe. There is no foreign direct investment into Zimbabwe. That's the reason why we don't have any jobs. The markets are constrained. Zimbabwe cannot deal with European and American companies at far because they'll be visited with sanctions by Zidera.
But so, do you agree, Mr. Mangwana, but do you agree as ZANU-PF that you have failed? We also had Mr. Dabengwa today.
No, we have not failed. We have not failed because we are trying to manage sanctions. We are, you know, fighting against the big powers which have imposed economic sanctions on us. So we cannot say to have been failed. We have failed. We are keeping the country afloat in face of serious hostility. And so, we have succeeded in keeping the country afloat. Who can stand against America? Who can stand against the entire European Union? Nobody.
That was ZANU-PF Politburo member Paul Munyaradzi Mangwana. ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa today added his voice to calls for President Mugabe's ZANU-PF government to swallow its pride and admit it has failed to run the country's fortunes around. The former ZANU-PF minister says Mr. Mugabe should call all political players and stakeholders to the table to find ways to resolve the country's problems. Correspondent Taura Ishava brings us more from Bulawayo.
Speaking during a press conference in Bulawayo this morning, Dabengwa said the ZANU-PF government should heed calls from the opposition and other Zimbabweans calling for an all-stakeholders conference to discuss and find solutions to the country's continuing problems. Dabengwa said President Robert Mugabe and his ZANU-PF party should collectively swallow their pride and admit that they have failed the nation.
We know that ZANU, being the mix of arrogance and empty pride that it is too ashamed to admit defeat and failure, and as such will always scream liberation war credentials as qualification to be a stakeholder. However, ZAPU reminds them that they did not fight the war alone. The time for guns and sloganeering is past. Come to the table, as Smith did, and let us build the country together, just as we defeated oppression together, side by side.
As whether he thinks President Mugabe is still in charge of the country, Dabengwa said the president is out of touch with reality, adding the fact that those around him seem to be in attitude and failing to advise him properly makes the country's situation untenable. Although there have been calls for the country's major political players to come together to resolve the country's economic and political problems, ACP leader Morgan Tsvangirai recently ruled out the possibility of going into another coalition government with ZANU-PF, saying this provides a lifeline to the faction Reagan party. Dabengwa said Mr. Mugabe should accept responsibility for the mess the country finds itself in. Meanwhile, a new political party is in first, announced its formation in Lawe last night, saying it would value ordinary people's contributions to bringing the country out of its current problems. Spokesperson Makaza Makorore said the party is led by Maxwell Zeb Shumba, a Zimbabwean currently based in the United States. With its tag, honesty, accountability, and unity, Makorore says the party will participate in the 2008 election.
Our government should be eternally fearful of the will of the people and forever restrained by the limits of the constitution which governs it. We emphatically reject the tenets of any political system or form of government or political idea that sets one person above another.
Marco Voreto, this party is not linked with the much talked about People First, an offshoot of disgruntled ZANU-PF members reportedly led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Zimbabweans have been criticized for forming too many political parties as they seek to dislodge ZANU-PF from power. Makovo believes his party will form the country's next government. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taura Ishala.
All is set for the South Africa-Zimbabwe Women's Trade Fair that officially kicks off in Musina, South Africa, tomorrow. The trade fair, which is the initiative of the two countries to empower women, is expected to attract more than 300 exhibitors from the two countries. Benedictine Hlapo reports from Musina, South Africa.
A giant tent has been prepared and the stage set for the official opening of the trade fair tomorrow. Charlotte Lobe, head of communications in the Department of Women in South Africa, told Studio 7 that hundreds of women from both countries will be exhibiting products ranging from textiles, farm produce, jewelry, craft and mining.
We are marketing products that are produced by women, but also we are giving women an opportunity to enter markets that ordinarily they would not have access to.
She says the exhibition will start off with a seminar where the women will engage in robust discussions with Minister of Women in South Africa, Susan Shabangu, and the Zimbabwean Minister of Small Business and Cooperatives Development, Sitembiso Nyoni.
Celebrating the work that women are already doing, but also using this opportunity to say to big business and big players in the economies of Africa that here are women who are not asking for handouts, but who are doing things for themselves and are saying to big business, let us be partners in empowering these women.
Lobe says 2015 has been declared as the Year of Women by the African Union, and the trade fair seeks to turn that dream into reality.
We want it to be something that starts a process of really integrating women into the economic mainstream. Hence, we have also invited big business so that they come here, we work together with them and see how government as well as the private sector assist these women in their development.
On Friday evening, the women exhibitors will attend a gala dinner. The trade fair ends Saturday. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Benedictine Hlapo.
Joy, sheer joy, and nothing else was written all over the faces of some Zimbabwean women who recently underwent successful obstetric fistula operations at Chinoyi Hospital. Arthur Chigoriwa has more details from the Mashonaland West provincial capital.
In all, 25 women benefited from the program that sought to correct a situation most of these women have lived with for as much as 25 years. Obstetric fistula, a hole in the birth canal sustained during childbirth, is a common maternal morbidity that impacts thousands of women in developing countries each year. Most women with the condition suffer incontinence, infections, kidney disease, and a foot drop, which is reduced their ability to walk as a result of nerve damage. Additionally, the majority of the women with obstetric fistula deliver stillborn babies. The condition is entirely preventable and has been eliminated in Western countries since the turn of the 20th century. So you can understand joy flowing from these women at Chinoyi Hospital. We are happy to go back as normal people and start living as normal people, they say in unison when approached for comment in reference to the isolation they say they have suffered over the years. Some of the women came as far as from Bocha in the Manicaland province. One of the women who wanted to be identified only as Gertrude said she was full of joy and could not wait to go back home as quote a normal woman.
I was helped a lot. I don't know how I can thank Sister Fortune and the company. I'm very grateful. I can now feel that I can go to the toilet unlike before I was operated.
Another woman from Kwekwe who wants to be identified as Mother Susan says she is relieved after suffering for 12 years with obstetric fistula.
Urine would come out unaware for the last 12 years, but now I feel healed after the operation.
Another woman who preferred to be called Miss Moyo said she was now incontinent with urine flowing non-stop from her bladder, much to her embarrassment. Miss Moyo says now she will now no longer an object of gossip when she goes back home. Act 3, My Moyo. Most of the women operated on said they heard about the program through Studio 7 broadcast on the program. Gertrude is one of them.
I listened to Studio 7. That is where I heard about the program and phoned Fortune's number, who asked me to come here.
Another woman, Mrs. Mofu, who waited for 3 days for the operation, said she was hopeful that her condition would be treated once and for all.
I am waiting to be operated, and I know I will get healed because others are getting well after the operation.
Women and the Health Alliance International, WA, is working in conjunction with Chinoy Provincial Hospital, the Minister of Health, and their partner from the United Nations on the obstetric fistula campaign. The WA program is part of a 5-year national campaign to end obstetric fistula in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Coming up, with no end in sight to Zimbabwe's economic decline, Zimbabwean workers feel their plight is getting worse. But first, a look at regional and international news. 5 Chinese Navy ships have been spotted in international waters off the coast of Alaska, according to U.S. officials, in what many analysts see as a fresh attempt by Beijing to project military power far from its shores. And former employee of the U.S. State Department who helped Hillary Clinton set up her personal email server says he'll not testify before a special congressional committee investigating the deadly 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. As reported earlier, various opposition parties have called on President Robert Mugabe to bring all political players in the country to the table to find solutions to the country's problems. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to MDC spokesman Obed Gudu and ZANU-PF member Gadzirai Chirumanzu. Chirumanzu tells Studio 7 Zimbabwe is moving forward despite the calls by Tsvangirai and other opposition figures.
I think they are answering to the calls of President Mugabe when he was the chairman of African Union, that it is only Africans that have got the capacity to solve their own problems, and we are very grateful for that.
And Mr. Gutu, I'll come there to you. These so-called great deals happening in Zimbabwe, are they reflecting on the ground in your view?
More than 12 months after the so-called mega deals were signed, nothing is solving on the ground. If anything, as I'm talking to you now, Zimbabwe is going through an unprecedented power shortage, where each and every day there is load shedding of no less than 15 hours uninterrupted, thanks to the so-called mega deal.
Mr. Chirumanzu, I'll come back to you here. We have long heard MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai, addressing rallies where he's talking about President Mugabe. And today we saw ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa saying that President Mugabe's government should swallow its pride and agree that it has failed.
Surely, this country is a democratic state. Every Jack and Jill is allowed to run a political party like him. He is running a political party under the banner of ZAPU. Tsvangirai is also running a political party under his name. So now we don't understand why he would want President Mugabe to allow these, personnel to have their own political party. They already have political parties, but the unfortunate thing is that they are not mercy parties. They are not pro-people parties. Hence, this is why they are doing dismally. Any council, local authority, elections, any national, elections, And this, we have proved it. If they say ZANU-PF has failed, then they must say Zimbabweans have failed, including them.
Mr. Gut, just falling back on what Mr. Chirimanzu was saying, that if any issues are happening, it is the blame of the people of Zimbabwe. What's your take on that?
No, that is actually very, it's actually very cruel. It's a very cruel statement. If anything, the people of Zimbabwe are a very resilient people. They are people who have actually gone through decades of, unprecedented repression at the hands of the ZANU-PF regime funded by Robert Mugabe. And Comrade Gadzira Chirumanzu knows himself that the people in this country are very peaceful. If it was in any other average African country, there would have been blood on the streets, blood in the villages in this country. But because the people of Zimbabwe are resilient, they are peace-loving, they are just suffering in silence. There are people who are repressed. There are people who are very poor. It is actually a documented statistic that at least 85% of the people of Zimbabwe right now, as I'm speaking to the nation, actually live on less than $2 per day.
Mr. Chirimanzu, your last word responding to what Mr. Gutu just pointed out.
Maybe the difference between ZANU-PF and MDC is that ZANU-PF is a pro-Zimbabwe political party, whereas with them they are, Western proxy party, but with the face of Tsvangirai is their head. Right. Honestly speaking, Zimbabweans knew that engaging the whites, that is the Ian Smith regime, they were going to die. And sure, they prepared to die, and they died. But the ultimate aim was to make sure that Zimbabwe was free. The same situation we are currently facing. Zimbabweans are not fools. They know very well that this suffering is because of white men under the guise of MDC.
Mr. Gutu, I'll give you your last word here.
Look, it is actually an insult to the people of Zimbabwe for Comrade to say that the people have suffered for a good reason. At the end of the day, we are talking of a few people in ZANU-PF who are very rich through thievery, through corruption. You are talking of just a very tiny portion of the population who managed to put one square meal a day on the table.
That was MDC spokesman Obed Gutu speaking together there with Mr. Chirumanzu of ZANU-PF. They were speaking with Tatenda Kumbo of Studio 7. For years, many Zimbabweans have been going without their full salaries as companies struggle to cope in the prevailing harsh economic climate. Some have not been paid for 3 years, some 12 months. The time varies. Even after laying off hundreds, firms are still failing to cope as liquidity problems afflict the nation due to a number of factors, including low production. Patricia Mudadigwa speaks to some workers to establish what motivates them to religiously go to work even when they are owed huge amounts in salaries and allowances by their companies.
Some workers in the country say the past few years have been hell. Some have gone for years without pay as companies struggle to remain in business. Some say they have largely been providing their companies with free labor. Some have been getting just enough to pay for their daily commute, while others have been walking long distances to and from their workplaces every day. Most of the workers who spoke with Studio 7 on the streets of Harare say it has been and continues to be unbearable living under such difficult times. Even more traumatizing is being educated but jobless. Many are walking on a cliff edge with former employment giants such as Cisco Steel, Christian New Zim Steel, the National Railways of Zimbabwe, and Wanga Colliery, among others, owing workers several months' salaries. However, a hardened lot, Zimbabwean workers still wake up to go to work even with dry bank accounts. Some workers allege that even companies that are doing well are taking advantage of them and delaying their salaries for employees to their own benefit. Rumi Zailov tells Studio 7 that going to work is a ritual to her, adding staying at home would be life-threatening.
As an educated person, at least I felt comforted that at least I have something to do, because staying at home can be very stressful. So work, at least I can use the internet. At least I'll be with other people.
Lovo says she is driven by the hope that companies will turn around their fortunes.
There is always hope that one day they are going to pay us, and maybe they are going to pay us all the amounts that they owe, so that we are then able to pay for our electricity bills, our water bills that have reached astronomical levels right now. It's a very painful thing. It's like we're almost like slaves.
However, for enterprising Tarisa Imoyo, who works for Harare Public Relations firm, told Studio 7 that she goes to work every day to conduct her own business.
I've gone for 6 months without salary. Going to work, it is actually a very good platform for me to be able to sell the chickens that I sell at work. I actually give them on credit.
The economic downturn has not only affected the employment in the country, but also social services. And for Onesmus Changara, going to work is a temporary escape from other problems bedeviling the country.
We cannot just sit at home. Like right now, there will be no electricity, you know, there will be no water at home, there will be no enough food at home. So you find that maybe it will be better to just go and spend time with colleagues.
Some workers have been complaining, however, that despite their failure to pay them, most companies ask them to fill in attendance log sheets with threats that they can lose their benefits if they fail to turn up. A new Zimstu worker who refused to be identified said he is still going to work as a means to keeping his company house in Towood, Kwekwe.
I have never received my salary since 2009. The reason why I'm still keeping my job is because I stay in a company house. I know that if I decide to leave my job today, I will not afford to pay rentals, still going to work just to log in.
With no end in sight of Zimbabwe's decline, most workers are afraid their situation may get worse as companies continue to scale down or to close shop completely. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
The HIV prevalence rate in Zimbabwe's sex industry is said to be rising despite years of public awareness campaigns by HIV/AIDS groups. Marvelous Mhlanganya, who has spoke with sex worker Sharon Maziwa about her situation and what led her to go into the streets.
When I got into sex work, my mother died and my husband got arrested when I was in labor. So I had nowhere to go. Even someone to help me to buy soap, to wash the nappies, to pay rentals. I had no relatives. The relative I only knew was my mother, and she died while I was in labor. So when I got out of the labor room, only to find out that my mother had died 3 weeks ago, I then went to stay in the street. That is when I started sex working, all in the name of taking care of my child.
And now in sports news, Highlanders Football Club coach Bongani Mafu was fired today following a string of losses at home and away, leaving the club in a precarious 10th position on the 16-member Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. Boso Chief Executive Ndumiso Gumede says Mafu has been replaced by former player and goalkeeper's coach Cosmos Tano Zulu, who was also hired last year to manage and save the team from relegation with other two coaches. Gumede told Studio 7 Skips Dube, Zulu's mission is to save the team from relegation once again as Highlanders struggle to fit into the nation's top league dominated over the years by bitter rivals Dynamos.
Due to a string of defeats that have left the team precariously poised at the number 10 position on the log, the executive took a decision to relieve the coach of his responsibilities. The stipulation is that if he is fired, then he goes with his assistants. So if the entire technical team has been asked to stand aside, and in their place, we now have Amin Soma, Cosmos Zulu, and Melusi Sibanda.
So do you think this is a prudent move, Mr. Kumete, taking into account that the team is struggling right now?
I don't think they would remove the coach of Mafu's caliber in order to down the